Week two, bad communication, Ephesians 4. I'm sure if you've read the Bible for any length of time, you have read these verses. I'll just tell you that right away. You have heard many of these verses, several of these verses quoted on a regular basis. And so let's not allow familiarity to keep us from learning something else, because this book is alive, and every time we read it, there's something for you, there's something for me. So I'm going to go ahead and read through the text. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Obviously, in any relationship that you have tonight, we know that communication is a part of it. Even though communication may change and has changed over your life and mine, in other words, in how we communicate, it's still something that we must be led by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, when it comes to our communication. And it's a work. It's a work in progress. We can't just work on it one week and then that's going to be good for the rest of our life. I think we know that. Because this is kind of a repeat, not a repeat, but some of the things you might have heard on Sunday morning, but we can literally be saying something so kind, and within a minute or two, it can be the antithesis of that, right? It can be something so not so kind, coming out of the same fountain, if you will, right? And so, obviously, it's something that we need God's help with. And thankfully, God has given us His Spirit, if we're saved, and He's given us His Word to help us in this journey of communication. Here's a cute little story by way of introduction. Tom and his wife, Grace, listened to the instructor at a marriage seminar, and the focus of the marriage seminar was communication. The gentleman or whoever was teaching said it is essential that husbands and wives know each other's likes and dislikes. The speaker then drew his attention to the men. And he said, for instance, can you name your wife's favorite flower? Favorite flower. Can you name your wife's favorite flower, men? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and do that. Maybe she likes all of them. I don't know. Interestingly enough, Tom was there, of course, Tom and Grace, and Tom leaned over and just kind of whispered into Grace's ear and said, isn't it Pillsbury? And so, anyway, you're going to have to really think about that one. Pillsbury is the name of a flower company, but that's not what he was wanting him to know, Pillsbury or whatever the other kinds are. I think it was something else. But anyway, I thought that was a cute little story. Communication, we might have the right word, but it means something else, right? So, biblical principles for communication reach far deeper than the mode, whether it's a cell phone or whether it's just talking, or whether it's writing a letter, sending an email. We want to use whatever communication we're using, we want to filter it through biblical principles. And the Apostle Paul definitely gives us several to think about in our text here tonight. And so, godly, healthy communication is what we're striving for. But the robber of relationship robber is not good communication. It's bad. But we're going to first talk about the condition of bad communication, if you're taking notes. The condition of bad communication. And as we consider these bad communications, we're going to lump them and put them into three main categories. Three main categories. The first category is harsh words. Harsh words. Let's turn to the gospel record of Luke chapter number 6, harsh words. And by the way, we can't say that, well, I was in the heat of the moment, I was just worked up, and it just came out. No, that's no excuse. Because we have the Holy Spirit of God, and so if we're filled with the Spirit, we aren't going to give harsh words. It doesn't mean we can't give strong words, but there's a difference between harsh and strong, okay? And so one is very cutting. That would be harsh. It's very cutting and cruel, if you will. The Bible says in Luke 6:45, a good man, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. We have the word good three times, right? So the great emphasis there, Jesus speaking, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Evil three times, if you notice that, the emphasis here. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So if it's an evil word, it came from the heart. If it's a kind word or a good word, it came from the heart. This is the seat of where our communication is coming from. And so because our heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? We've got to continue to put in our heart things of God to flush out those things that we might say in the heat of the moment. What would that be? That would be our flesh. And we don't want to walk in the flesh. We want to walk in the Spirit. You can't do both at the same time. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. You can two walk together except they be agreed. So we want to agree with the Spirit of God, and we want to eliminate these harsh words. I wrote this down. Usually bad or poor communication comes out much quicker than healthy communication. Usually a harsh word, for some reason, a harsh word can come out so much quicker. Have you ever noticed that? But then when you want to say something that is kind or good, I don't know, we just need the Lord, right? Because it has to be a little bit more worked up, but it shouldn't be that way. It should be the other way around. Not quick to slice, quick to compliment. But it seems like many times that's what happens. So we don't want to be harsh. We don't want to be cruel. And here's another thought about this. Usually these words are reserved for those closest to us. That's not good. Right? So we get out and we come to church and we got all these nice words and kindness and everything like that. But sometimes when we get home, we let our guard down a little bit, right? We take our shoes off. Nothing wrong with that. And, but if we're not careful, we let our guard down too much. And sometimes the most harsh words are given to those people who are close to us. Or maybe it's somebody that we work with and we know them very well. Or maybe it's, I don't know who else it might be, closer people. We're often more kinder to people we... That's not good English. We're often kinder to people that we don't know, which is good. We should be kind to everybody. But let's not be harsh to those that are around us. They usually get the brunt of our cruel speech, if you will. So we don't want to act out of harshness. We don't want to react and be harsh. We want to act and be kind. Most times, harsh words are a reaction. Many times we might say, well, they did this, so I said something harsh. You know, that's like being in the nursery, okay? You know, Tommy took my toy, so I hit him over the head with it. No, that's not how we want to teach our kids, and that's not how we should. We can't blame somebody else for how we responded. We don't want to react. We want to respond properly. Isn't it amazing that, I think we're going to get to it later in here, that it says that there's a verse that says, you know, if you speak something kindly, it diffuses everything. Well, that's really the TIV, the Turner International Version. We're going to come to it in just a minute. So here it is, Proverbs 15:1. Let's go to, Solomon said it way better than I did. A soft answer, now you know the verse, right? A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You know, if you're having an argument with somebody, you know, I guess, I don't want to say argument, but you're slinging around some not so nice words. If somebody would just stop and give a soft answer, it's going to be really hard for whoever it is to continue to pound you with words if your words are soft. Proverbs says it diffuses it. It turns it away. But you know what it's like when they're coming at us, right? We want to give it right back. But we need to ask God, help me, especially if there's somebody you know that this is more prominent around, maybe it is a coworker. They just know how to light your lamp, right? They know how to push a button, as we say. Don't push my button. Not the belly button, okay? Don't push my button. Don't do that one either, but anyway. But they know what to say. And sometimes it is husband and wife, right? I mean, when you're married 32 years, you know what button to push, right? Don't you, babe? No, I mean, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I do too. I do too. But you know what? And if you can laugh a little bit about it sometimes, but there's other times where it's like, don't do that. Soft answer turneth away wrath. But look, the opposite of the verse, grievous words, it just stirs it up. No, we don't want to stir it up. We want to turn it away. So harsh words. Second kind that we want to avoid are self-serving words. A healthy relationship is not going to be built by focusing on ourself. Always talking about self. Always lifting up self. Always making ourself look better. Building our image. And a lot of times what we do is, to build ourselves up, we have to do what? Tear somebody down, right? They sometimes go together. Obviously, building ourselves up, that's pride. We want to avoid that anyway. But when it comes to communication, this can be a problem. Self-serving communication is never healthy. It's never healthy. My communication should always be to build up someone else, to encourage someone else, to edify someone else. So, we don't want to put ourselves ahead. We don't want to make ourselves always look good. We want to make others look good. We want to make others be encouraged by our words. So harsh words, no good. Self-serving words, no good. Thirdly, dishonest words. This world does not place a very great value on honesty. You know that. It's whatever you got to say to get it done, just say it. Even if you lie. Well, our text is very clear about that we read a moment ago, about speaking the truth. Verse number 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So, staying away from dishonesty. You know, God hates lying. Let's go back to the Proverbs again and go to chapter 19. These are relationship robbers, bad communication, harsh words, self-serving words. That can really be in the midst of a company, you know. We've always got to talk about ourselves and how good we're doing. Just let your job speak for itself, right? Just do the work. We're children of God. We don't have to pump ourselves up. Just do right. Be on time. Work hard. Let your work ethic do the talking for it. We don't have to talk about ourselves. Look at Proverbs 19:5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. God puts a premium on telling the truth. And God says it's not going to pay off. Let's go to the New Testament book of Acts, and we find an example very early on in the church. Acts and chapter number 5. God waits no time on making it clear how severe it is to lie. Early on in the church, it was very common for the people within the congregations, if there were needs within the congregations, they would sell things and they would divvy up the funds to help others within the congregation. We even find that in other New Testament books, how it took place. And they would, the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, I believe it is. But here we have, that's what's happening here in Acts chapter number 5. Unfortunately, a very infamous couple are known for their lying. their deceit, and God judges it instantaneously. And we find them in verse number 1 of our text of Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, and you obviously the chapter divisions were not here, so you have to kind of go up to verse 37, having land, sold it. And so they're trying to help the church, help people within the church. And that's all up in those verses ahead of behind it, chapter 4, 32 onward. Anyway, so Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. That's not a problem. That's what people were doing. That's a good thing. But, and kept back part of the price, his wife being privy, so they were in on it. They were scheming, they were lying, and brought a certain part. Notice verse 34. I do want to point this out. I've got some notes in my Bible, sorry. Look at verse 34 of the previous chapter. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices. So I've underlined that three-word statement, brought the prices. But then you notice in verse number 2 of chapter 5, they only brought a certain part. So they were supposed to bring the prices, right? You can connect those two, and you recognize that, you know, they weren't playing fair compared to what was already happening. And they would have known this. But Peter said, Ananias, why? God obviously gave Peter some knowledge that he didn't have because of Peter. Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You had every choice to give it all. It was in your hand. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. So God is not happy with lying, dishonesty. And he judges both of them. If you read the rest of the chapter, you're going to find out that his wife does the same thing and she also dies. Interesting part of this text, this is part of our discipleship training when we talk about the Holy Ghost being God. Notice, if you will, in the text, just to give you this quickly, Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? So in verse 3, he said you lied to the Holy Ghost. But then in verse number 4, he says you lied to God, because they're both the same. Right? So God is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God. And so that's a good proof text for part of the Trinity that we use in the continued discipleship. Just wanted you to maybe think about that. So lying, there's nothing right about lying. It is always wrong. It produces negative consequences. It is toxic. Here's what it does in a relationship. I think the number one word that it takes away, trust. Even if it's once, be honest. I remember teaching our kids, it's never right to lie. Usually you got to lie multiple times. You don't usually just lie once. You got to lie a second time to figure out the cover up for the first one. Just tell the truth. And you know, a foundation for all of our relationships, trust. So be honest. Sometimes honest is painful. Sometimes we might think, but they're not. It doesn't mean you did something wrong. And we're not saying all truth-telling, by the way, is that you did something wrong and you're telling the truth. No, sometimes truth-telling is, I don't really want to tell them because they may not like me or like it. No, you have to tell them the truth. If you go around the truth and lie, that's just as guilty as someone who did something and they're trying to cover it up with a lie. Do you understand what I'm getting at? Sometimes God makes it very clear, you got to talk to this person. And if you just skirt around the thing, and I skirt around the thing, that's just as much a lie. So we've got to be honest about this thing. It says sometimes we might want to avoid having to take responsibility in the moment, and so we say something untrue to avoid a fight, not physical, but verbal, to avoid an altercation, to avoid something else. No, be honest about it. Honesty is always the best policy. And dishonest communication eats at the foundation, and eventually, it doesn't matter how strong the relationship is, dishonesty can corrode a relationship away, and that foundation can be destroyed by dishonesty. So this is all of the bad communication. So let's talk now about the cure. What is the cure for bad communication? So it's not like, okay, what do we do? God doesn't give us something. No, God gives us a way to build a relationship. God gives us a way to strengthen a relationship. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. All right, so we got Ephesians 4 open now. First off, this goes right with what we just said. How do we build this communication? Honest communication. That's the first one. Honest. We read the verse earlier. Speak every man truth. Ephesians 4:25. Open and honest in our communication with others. In other words, we don't want to tell somebody what they want to hear. We want to tell them the truth. But it's easier to tell them what they want to hear. But that's not telling the truth. So may God help us in this way. Again, it comes out of insecurity sometimes when we don't want to tell somebody the truth. We're insecure because we're not sure what's going to happen. And we have to ask God, God, help me not to live my life on what might happen. No, live your life by truth. What might happen, leave that with God. Leave that with God. Be truthful. Another thought about telling someone what they may or may not want to hear. Professional golfer by the name of Tommy Bolt was playing in LA and had a caddy with a reputation of constant chatter. Now, if you know anything about golf, you don't want a caddy that talks all the time. You want to get advice, and you want to just, you know, it's got to be simple. Before they teed off for the first hole, the golfer said to his caddy, "Don't say a word to me. And if I ask you something, just answer yes or no." Wow, that would have made it. It would have made for a long day of golf. During the round, Bolt found the ball next to a tree. Not a good spot to be. Where he had hit under a branch, over a lake, and onto the green. He got down on his knees, looked through the trees, and sized up the shot. "What do you think?" he asked his caddy. "Five iron?" "No, Mr. Bolt," the caddy said. "What do you mean, not a five iron?" Bolt snorted. "Watch this shot." The caddy rolled his eyes. "No, Mr. Bolt." "Am I supposed to say yes or no?" But Bolt hit it, and the ball stopped about 2 feet from the hole. I mean, he thought pretty good about himself. "Now, what do you think about that? You can talk now." "Mr. Bolt," the caddy said, "that wasn't your ball. You hit the wrong ball. You see, we ought to want people to tell us not what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. It's not just me, I should tell you that, but I should want that from friends, family. Tell me what I need to hear." A great lesson in that. Now, this doesn't mean we go to the opposite end of harshness. No, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love may grow up, it's right there in our text, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. So honest communication. Then secondly, regular communication. Regular communication. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Here it is. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So, hey, I had good communication this afternoon at lunch with my wife, and so I'll talk to her again tomorrow. You know, I don't know if that's the best way to go about marriage. You know, I had good communication with my son or my daughter or this person or that person or the person at work. No, good communication is not just one time. Good communication is an ongoing event, an ongoing process, if you will, that we must do day after day. Sometimes we want to ignore something and thinking it will go away. No, that's the time when we've got to deal with it. Regular communication, right? Just like your automobile noise is not going to just go away because you hit the car or something, you know? Work has to be done on that, right? So work has to be done on our community. You know what? Sometimes regular communication involves apologizing. Apologizing. Be quick to apologize. But it's not my fault. Well, apologize anyway. There's something. It takes two to tango, right? You ever tried to tango by yourself? Anyway, we'll just keep going. We're gonna go right on, okay? I don't think I've ever tangoed anyway, whatever that is. It's a cute saying, right? I don't know. Is it a dance? I don't know. Anyway, so apologize. You don't know what they did. Be willing to make that soft answer. Regular communication. Or, you know what we might have to do? We might have to go to that person and say, can I talk to you? Matthew 18:15. By the way, this is a great verse to mark down in your Bible. Let's turn over there. Okay? I spoke to somebody about this first Sunday. Literally, I could almost talk about this verse every week. Seriously. I'm glad it's here. But unfortunately, many Christians, they must have just cut it out of their Bible or something. I referenced it on Sunday. And it's right here in the notes tonight. So God is telling us something. Let's follow God's plan, all right? Let's look at verse number 18:15. Remember, words have meaning. Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, all right, so somebody has offended me. And again, another thing that we talk about in discipleship, and this is covered in discipleship, is first thing is, can you forgive that person without talking to them? Because that is something that we should always consider, that we don't always have to go to somebody every single time. Now, if we need to, we have a biblical thing to follow. But there's also Ephesians 4:32 that we're going to be coming to in just a minute. If I'm able to forgive them from my mind and my heart and just let it go, then I don't have to go talk to them. But if every time I see them, I'm thinking about it, then I haven't let it go. So then I've got to apply Matthew 18. And it says, go tell him his fault between thee and him. What is this next word? Alone, not in a group. Alone, just the two of you. This would prevent so many problems following God's plan. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Let's just keep reading. But if he will not hear thee, here's the plan. Take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. All right, so that's step two. Step one is forgive the individual. If you can't do that, fine, that's okay. Step two, go to the individual alone. Step three, go with somebody else. If you neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. I would say that after you've taken someone else, then you may need to go to the pastor. I look at that as a representation of the church. You need to go to the pastor and you need to say, I've done this, pastor. I've followed the biblical mode and it's still not working out. Let God's word help us in that way. Here's another thought though. Don't let the other person make the move first. Well, I'm going to wait for them to come to me. No, don't do that. You go to them first. Let's be an adult, okay? Let's not only be an adult, let's be a spirit-filled adult. If you think there's something wrong, you know, that individual, here's the thing. That individual may not even know they did anything. But it's just burning you up. They're just smiling all the every time, Sunday, Wednesday, they're smiling. You're like, why are they smiling? They offended me. They don't even know. It's happened, believe me. I've had people come to me with a great spirit, and they've told me things, and I said, I didn't even know that bothered you. I'm sorry. If they had never come to me, I would have bothered them many more times. because I can bother people, you know. No amens over here. I can bother people, you know. So we've got to tell them. Again, have the right spirit about it. So honest, regular, then careful. Careful communication. Satan is constantly working to harm us and hinder God's work in our lives. And he hates our relationships, especially those that are working for the Lord, working together. And so he wants to divide, he wants to conquer. In our text, it says, neither give place to the devil. Satan is a deceiver. He will do everything in his power for you and me to believe a lie about somebody else. And it happens more than I think we realize. Honest, it's Satan will take a thought and try to change it in our heart and mind, and it's not even true about an individual. So we can't give him a place, not a little teeny place. He knows if we can believe something that is not true, it will damage a relationship. And sometimes it won't even be repaired. Now, by the grace of God, anything can be. So believing a lie, this is what it's talking about. Careful communication, not allowing the enemy to get a foothold in our life. Careful communication never attacks a person. Regardless of how they're behaving to you, don't attack them verbally. It's not going to help. Remember, soft answer turneth away wrath. You attack them with words, it's just going to stir it up. Now, part of communication is not just talking. And Brother Mark was even mentioning this to me last night about our relationship with the Lord. A huge part of communication is the listening. Saying nothing, but listening. In fact, I might say that listening is a major part of communication. In other words, okay, listening, maybe we could say it this way. Listening and hearing are two different words in the English language. Okay. Hearing is more of a technical word of my ears are working, right? And I heard it. Listening is, it's getting deep into my mind, right? I am guilty of hearing my wife many times, but I'm guilty of not listening, right? I can repeat what she said to me verbatim, but I didn't listen. See, that's not good communication. Just because I could hear it and I could write it out, I need to be listening. It could be whatever the relationship is. I think I'm improving in that, but there are times definitely where I have failed. So I'm thankful for a graceful spouse. And be graceful as well. If somebody's not really listening, you don't have to hammer them, okay? But maybe you can give them a little bit of a cue there, right? So listening, very important. And I think this is also something that God has helped me with as I've got, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but we don't have to say something immediately. We don't have to respond immediately. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So, patiently determine what is trying to be said before going on your diatribe, right? And just right on down the road. And you have to walk back many words sometimes. But if we would have just waited, so careful communication is very healthy, okay? Then profitable communication. Profitable. We go back to Ephesians 4. And Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good. All right, so that's profitable. It is edifying that it may minister grace. So it's good, it's edifying, it's graceful. The word corrupt in this verse means bad, rotten, or putrid. We don't want any of that coming out of their mouth. We all here have probably been on the end of corrupt speech, communication. We've probably been on the end of it. Hopefully we haven't delivered much. And if we have, let's repent of that and cut that out because it's not honoring the Lord. That's the most important part. It's not even, I mean, it is the individual, but the most important part is it's dishonoring to God. But we're supposed to have good, as you see there, that which is good. That word good there means excellent, upright, or honorable. My goal in communication with whoever it might be is grace. What are they going through? What's happening in their life? Even if it's a stranger, we definitely don't know what's going on in their life. Let's have God help us to be graceful. And by the way, wisdom, many times it says right here, think about this statement. Often wisdom is silent, especially when anger wishes to speak. I love this verse. It challenges me. Proverbs 29:11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. That was, by the way, in our reading today, Proverbs. If you're a proverb of the day, that was part of today's reading. Yeah, we don't have to say everything that's on our mind. That's never probably a good thing anyway. Be that individual that when somebody leaves you, they are encouraged. Again, sometimes you don't say anything, but it's your face. It's my face that conveys communication, right? A smile communicates. Let's be the individual that is a builder-upper, not a tearer-downer. These are relationship robbers. Leaving people with hope. You know, people come in here on Sundays sometimes, and especially if they're lost and they're just trying to navigate this world in which we live. I mean, think about what it's like to live one day without Christ in 2026. You know what? I do it every once in a while, and I have to stop thinking about it because I don't know how anybody lives one day without Christ in this world. So when God brings people that are, we have no idea who they are, what they are, what's going on, but let's be people that speak and show with God's, by the way, this isn't to put on a show, right? What's God's goal about our salvation? Christ in us, the hope of glory. So God's trying to create in me the kind of speech that Jesus would give. The kind of speech that he would give. I mean, he's on the cross and he's just about ready to die and he actually says, forgive them. Oh, but I'm not going to forgive that person. Okay, Jesus forgave you as a sinner on the cross. By the way, when we refuse to forgive someone, we're actually hurting ourselves, not them. It's true, believe me. Withholding forgiveness hurts you more than them. Anyway, profitable. Then, spiritual communication. That's in verses 30 and 31. Just about done here. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We never have a conversation that includes only two people. Think about this. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Every conversation has God in it. He's listening. What's he hearing? What's he hearing from me? What's he hearing from you? It is my duty as a child of God to make sure that my words do not grieve his spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It means don't put out his fire in your life. We need his fire. One of the words that is used in the Bible about the Holy Spirit is the fire. We need that. We need that to live the Christian life, to encourage people, but also to have victory over sin. And if we're constantly grieving the Holy Spirit with our conversation, and then all of a sudden the enemy comes, we're not going to have that spiritual fortitude, if you will, because we've grieved the Holy Spirit in the morning or in the afternoon, and then all of a sudden, the enemy came. So if we are willing to yield ourselves to the Spirit's control, He gives us the power to communicate properly. And one of the things we want to communicate, it's called spiritual communication, we want to communicate truth. Where else is that person that comes into Anchor who has no idea about salvation, or a little bit about salvation, or maybe they've only heard this one doctrinal position over here about sprinkling babies or praying with rosary beads bowing to praying six times a day to Mecca or whatever? That's all they've ever heard. They need to come in and they need to hear Spirit-filled speech about the Lord. And it may just be about whatever, but because our tongue has been yielded to the Spirit, my conversation can be spiritual, even when it's about whatever it may be. But God can use that spiritual friendship to bring down the walls of religiosity or whatever it may be. Only by God's grace, only by the Holy Spirit of God can this happen. So it's got to be honest, regular, careful, profitable, spiritual, kind communication. Letter F, verse 32, be ye kind. Okay, there's three big words here: kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. These are all attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all of these perfectly. So the more that we are like Christ, the more we can do them perfectly. Right? Mature. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be mature in Christ. At the end of the verse, we see a statement, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So because of Him and through Him, I can be kind, I can be tenderhearted, and I can be forgiving. It's not going to be through me. It's not going to be through you to somebody else. It's through Christ. This is how we can forgive. And when we realize what Christ has done for us, God has done for us through Christ, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, let's think about that. Let that permeate our minds. Let that help us. Then it will allow His heart to forgive someone else that has offended us, or whatever it may be. In conclusion, there's no relationship that doesn't have challenges, not a one. But helping within those challenges is becoming a good communicator. How does this happen? It happens when our words are guided by the Word. My words must be guided by the Word. And when that happens, I can be, by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, I can give those good words, good communication, strengthened because of the Word of God. But if I give harsh, self-serving, dishonest, well, that's only going to corrode a relationship. And so may God help us tonight with regards to this relationship robber.